Good morning, everyone. This morning we'll be in Leviticus 5. You know, I gave some teachings regarding how all of these sacrifices connect to Jesus, and you could listen to that in Leviticus 1 or Leviticus 4. This morning in Leviticus 5, I would like to just comment on some things that I think are special about our God and show us what He desires. In the beginning, it says, "Now if a person sins after he hears a public adjuration to testify when he is a witness, whether he has seen or otherwise known, if he does not tell it, then he will bear his guilt." And one of the things that we're seeing in that passage is that God desires that we would be faithful witnesses. And if we witness something, you know, a crime or something that's wrong, and we're asked to testify, or that we should just testify to what we saw. Think about what happens with justice and injustice if people don't speak up and say what is wrong. And, you know, I think that just causes a tremendous amount of problems. First of all, we don't catch people, and then they perpetually do wrong because they're not getting punished for what they've done wrong. And there's something about our honor, our integrity before the Lord, that we confess what we have seen. So that's the first thing that I saw this morning. Secondly, then it says this in verse 4, "If a person swears thoughtlessly with his lips to do evil or to do good, and whatever a man may speak thoughtlessly with an oath, and it is hidden from him, and then he comes to know it, he will be guilty in one of these. So it shall be when he comes guilty in one of these that he shall confess that in which he has sinned." And, you know, gosh, who has not spoken a word thoughtlessly, swears thoughtlessly, or speaks thoughtlessly? And, man, I tell you what, that's a challenge even for this guy. I just feel like, you know, obviously I speak a lot, whether it be on this daily podcast or at church or dealing with, you know, many people at church, good times, bad times, times of conflict, whatever. There's a lot to deal with. And man, managing your tongue and never speaking thoughtlessly is super challenging. You know, we're blessed that we have the Holy Spirit and that He is in those who believe. I think sometimes it's a challenge to operate in the midst of what's in you all the time, meaning God is in us, we believe in Him, and then it's like when you're having conversation to, you know, verse by verse or sentence by sentence to remember that the Holy Spirit is in you so that He speaks through you, and that so we don't operate, you know, on the flesh or on our own. And you know, I can see why this was written in the Bible about needing to bring a sacrifice when you've spoken thoughtlessly. So Lord, help me, help us to govern our lips so that we speak what is honorable and right and in connection with your Holy Spirit. But what's amazing is then you could bring a sacrifice and you'd make an offering. And so the priest shall make atonement on his behalf for his sin. So hallelujah. There's forgiveness, and may we forgive others too when they speak thoughtlessly because they have a human condition like we did. And praise God that He made a way for us to be forgiven. And now ultimately, hallelujah, that's through Jesus instead of animal sacrifice. He's the once and for all. The other thing that I saw that I think is interesting, and we've seen it before, but you know, I'm commenting on different things at different times as we go through the book of Leviticus here. It says, "But if he cannot afford," verse 7, "a lamb, then he shall bring to the Lord his guilt offering for that which he has sinned, two turtle doves or two young pigeons, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering." And, you know, we saw that Mary and Joseph, when they brought Jesus, likely because they could not afford a better offering, that's what they brought. But isn't that neat that God makes a provision for the poor? And He recognizes that there's poor among us, and he thinks of them in His law. He says, you know what? let's make a way for the poor to participate in this offering for forgiveness, because they're not going to be able to afford a lamb or a cattle. So therefore, we'll give them a way to be forgiven too. He's always thinking about the poor. And I think it just shows God's heart for the poor. So I love that. I love that about our God, and may we resemble him and not forget the poor as well. All right. In fact, if he couldn't even bring that, if his means were insufficient, verse 11, for two turtle doves or two young pigeons, then for his offering for that which he has sinned, he shall bring the tenth of an ephah of fine flour for a sin offering. So even if he couldn't afford the turtle doves, he could, and pigeons, he could bring flour. So there, God, easy even for the ultra poor, he's making accommodation for them. Hallelujah. Praise our God. In verse 14, we see something else that's brought in, I think, that is worthy of discussing this morning. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, if a person acts unfaithfully and sins unintentionally against the Lord's holy things, then he shall bring his guilt offering to the Lord, a ram without defect from the flock, according to your valuation in silver by shekels. So whatever a ram was worth in shekels, in terms of the shekel of the sanctuary for a guilt offering, so you could, you were supposed to, if you did something against one of the Lord's holy things that may have been, you did something wrong according to the tabernacle, we don't know exactly, but instead of bringing a ram, you would bring the value of the ram in shekels. And actually, listen to this in verse 16, he shall make restitution for that which he has sinned against the holy thing, and shall add to it a fifth part of it and give it to the priest. The priest shall make atonement for him with the ram of the guilt offering, and it will be forgiven him. So you were supposed to add 20% restitution. And, you know, I tell you what, if people had to, or when people had to pay up on this kind of stuff for their sins, and they pay 20%, one-fifth more restitution, that would make you not want to do it again. So God cared very much about justice. He cared very much about the poor. And he's always making a way for them to be given, forgiven. Listen to this in the end of verse 16. The priest shall then make atonement for him with the ram of the guilt offering, and it will be forgiven him. And praise God for all the means of forgiveness. And God has not left us without a means of forgiveness today. He knows that we are wayward. He knows that we make mistakes. And he knows that we need an offering for our sin, and he gave it to us in Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's close it out in the last three verses. Now, if a person sins and does any of the things which the Lord has commanded not be done, though he was unaware, still he is guilty and shall bear his punishment. There's all these unaware sins. That's a little unusual, isn't it? I wonder if it was just something cultural of that day. Did they act as though they are unaware? I feel like a lot of times we know when we sin, but maybe there's a lot of times we sin and we don't realize it. And you know, I guess part of this may just be, you know what? I may be unaware of what I did wrong, but I'm just going to bring an offering because I probably did something wrong and I'm unaware of it. So I just want to cover my bases. And that could be part of what's taking place here as well. He is then to bring to the priest a ram without defect from the flock according to your valuation for a guilt offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him concerning his error in which he sinned unintentionally and did not know it, and it will be forgiven him. It is a guilt offering. He was certainly guilty before the Lord. I don't know. Forgive me for being a little crass, but you know, I wonder if it's like, let's say you sinned and you knew it. So then you come to the offering, you know, to the tabernacle to make an offering, and you say, well, I'm unaware of what I did, but I just think I sinned, and I want to make sure that I seek the Lord's forgiveness and make an offering for anything that I might be unaware of. And maybe that was the offerer's way of just covering his bases to be forgiven, and perhaps not even to have to confess specifically what he did, but just cover his bases in the offering. Sometimes, I don't know, maybe that was good. Maybe it would have been good for him to confess it, though, huh? To say what he did wrong. So anyways, nonetheless, there was a way to cover yourself to be forgiven, and praise God, he has now forgiven us through Jesus. God bless you all, and we'll see you again in chapter 6.